Les Tompkins is from Scotts Bluff. He's currently in the center now.
Okay.
But I met him last spring when I did all the home teaching plus thing at North Platte when I helped teach. And that was his kind of first.
Did you sow a little seeds there?
I kind of did. I think I hoped. But he was planning to kind of go to the center after that. And then when he went to this training deal, and I mean, he just thrived. I mean, first time he'd ever done any cane travel.
Dude, it's a highlight in the last questions. I got the first
in that intense, anyways.
Uh-huh. Oh,
you know,
great.
So I mean, he just thrived on. I said, "You need to go to this."
Mr. Newman, we miss you at the head table.
And that's why we.
So I said, "You would be awesome." So
that's what it's about. The blind have a responsibility to promote.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's our duty.
Robert, I got half a cup. You want it?
The upper half.
That's gone already.
Hey, Mike, I don't know if you want to recognize the clients from the center that are here now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we'll get them, we'll send the mic from around to get them to introduce themselves for the minutes. Robert, talking to Chad and Mark, do you have anything to really talk about during the commissioner's report time?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to almost skip it.
Pearl.
Yes.
All right, Wes, are you ready?
The recorder is rolling.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you ready?
Okay. We're going to get back. We're going to get started again.
They all have the flu.
The next item on the agenda is the commissioner's reports or commissioner's reports. And this isn't even due to time, even though we are a few months behind. Just with the holidays, everything with family times and stuff going on recently. There's not been a lot of activities that we have been involved with or projects that we've been working on specifically that are specifically commission related. We all do a lot of things ourselves in the blindness community on a regular basis, but specifically commission related, not so much in the last couple months just because of everything else going on. So we're going to go ahead and move past the commissioner's report. And just for a second here, before we get into the executive director's report, I'd like to send the microphone around again to, we had some more people join us, I think specifically from the training center here in Lincoln. And if you guys could go introduce yourselves so that we can get your names down, so that we know that who's here and that we can also get your names down in the minutes.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Oscar Becerra, and I've been in the training center for almost 4 months now, and I think it's awesome and fun.
Hi, I'm Jenna Mayers, and I just started, maybe 2 weeks ago. So far, I think it's fun, and I think it's going to help me a lot.
Again, my name is Matt Hackard, and I am the computer instructor at the center, so I'm working with all of these guys.
We got you before, Matt.
I've forgotten who, I'm sorry.
That's right.
I wasn't sure who was here before.
Okay.
My name is Jason Bond, and I've been in the center for about 4 months.
This is Playmate, and she's been in the center 3 months.
My name is Miguel Rocha, and I've been in the center for 2 months.
Okay, and was there anybody else that didn't introduce yourself earlier? Oh, yeah.
Somebody else introduced Carol earlier.
Carol Jenkins, center supervisor.
Thank you all for coming today. As I said before, you guys made it in. We really were excited to see how many people were here today, and we appreciate your interest, and thank you for joining us today. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dr. Van Zandt for the Executive Director's Report.
Thank you very much. The one thing I wanted to point out to everybody is Shane talked about the report he had sent to the board. I want you to know that his full report will be in with the minutes and as a part of the what you can read on our website in a week or 10 days or so. So that'll be available for you. Also, my entire report will be there as well. And of course, it's a compilation of pretty in-depth reports from all of our different teams. So it's got a lot of great info in there, and we could spend all morning if I read the whole thing. So I won't, but I encourage you all to access that. One thing I should mention, if people don't have access to the to computers or websites, we would always be happy to send you in whatever format you need the reports and such. So that's something we kind of forget to say now that everything's electronic. So don't be shy, and if you hear somebody wanting info, encourage them. They can talk to me, one of the board, Kathy, we can help you out. Okay, this past 3 months, even though there were the holidays and such, a lot has been going on and continues to go on. Two of the big things are the budget and AWARE. And AWARE is the new client database system we'll be talking more about a little later. But we have teams working on the details of how that's going to roll out. We have a go-live of July 1, and that's tech jargon for that's when we're really going to start using that system. So that's very exciting. A lot of work is going into it, and so we really appreciate the teams that are working on that, and even more work will be happening as we roll into the different phases of the whole project. And so that's a big deal that will really help with our record keeping, our accessibility of our system, and keeping up with the federal reports as the regulations keep changing and how we need to do things differently in terms of what we have to gather, how we report it, what we report, and all that great stuff. So it's a huge investment of effort as well as funds, but it's going to be well worth it.
Dr. Van Zandt?
Yes, sir.
With that, I had a quick question, because we're going to have a topic come up here a little bit later related to the anonymous staff suggestion box.
Yes.
And the one that came in for that this time dealt with AWARE. And I'm just curious, does everybody on the staff know? I know not everybody on the staff is involved in the process. There's teams that representatives from different from the, all the areas that I believe are involved, and teams doing different aspects. Does the staff as a whole know who's involved and who would be a point of contact?
That's a good question, and I kind of wondered that too when we got the specific comment. We have sent information to all staff about who's on what teams.
Mm-hmm.
If I were somebody out in Valentine working on, you know, providing direct services,
right,
I'm not sure I'd know, okay, what is steering committee, what does adaptation team mean, what exactly does it mean? And first of all, would I have had time to read that thing? So in theory, yes, everybody knows it's in the works.
Okay.
Everybody knows that their supervisor, if they do have questions, absolutely could be talking with supervisor or contact me. But the suggestions are as fine to... we have a process where it's not like the in crowd is doing this thing and you all don't bother with it, we'll let you know later. That's not the way it is.
Okay.
So
I would say we're always happy to take suggestions,
yes,
through the anonymous suggestion box. That's not the question.
Right.
It's I hope the person didn't feel that this was the avenue that they had to take versus because they didn't feel comfortable bringing it forward.
Right.
I hope that the situation was that they just didn't know where to direct the question, and so it came that way.
Mm-hmm. I hope that's true as well. We certainly, one of the things about the system we're purchasing is it's off the box, out of the box.
Right.
Out of the box. We can do minor adaptations, like with drop-down boxes that indicate counties. Obviously, the counties in some other state are not going to be our same drop-down box.
Right.
So that's what we're adapting to options that are already there. But we aren't customizing the whole system. Then it would be a whole different pay range, and it would not be off the shelf kind of thing.
Right.
We certainly hope that people, that staff know that we're welcome, we're happy to hear any ideas. Some won't be implemented because it just doesn't work, but absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yes. It's a work in progress, that's for sure. And then lots of time being spent on workforce issues statewide. Different people in different offices are working on those things. Last meeting in November, the Radio Talking Book folks came and spoke to you, the board. I wanted to let you know that I did go to their offices in Omaha, toured the facility. It had been a few years since I'd been there. And so we talked about what all they're doing now that's different and how they can keep staff statewide informed. I reinforced to Radio Talking Book that we do continue to provide the outreach to potential users that they would not be able to do because they're not staffed statewide like that. And we're happy to do that, and we do actually... We tell people about Radio Talking Book as well as all the other resources. We help them fill out forms, and if there's equipment issues, we sometimes can help with that as well. So I think that was a good meeting. I do want to talk about the kinds of jobs that our clients have been getting and some of the numbers. A lot of times with our focus topics and the different things is we talk more about the programs, the group setting things that are done. But I just want to reinforce that our counselors and teachers and the VR techs, everybody statewide is working to on an individual basis with consumers, with their families, with their employers, with the school they're in. Whatever, that's ongoing, and it's all that individual work that our staff do in addition to the great programs that really help people achieve their employment goals. So some of the numbers that we have this time, we're at the end of the first quarter of the federal fiscal year. Well, that was October 1 through December 31. And we served 505 voc rehab clients in all statuses. Of the active clients, 14 were closed this quarter with achieving their employment goals. There were 20 who were closed without achieving employment. And then there were 328 active voc rehab clients at the end of December. In independent living, and this includes older blind, 312 were served in all statuses. 75 were closed successfully achieving their goals. 9 were closed without the goal being achieved. And then at the end of December, there were 188 active IL clients. 186 of those are senior blind. One client is 37 and one is 13. So we still do have a few in those other ranges, but mostly it's the senior blind. The center, currently we have 8 clients in the center. One O&M, that's travel apprentice, and one staff trainee. And so that's really good. The center supervisor does continue to communicate with, speak to the district and office meetings across the state about changes in the center and how things are going. One other key point about the center is that we are about to run out of the lease on our apartments downtown. And so we are looking for other location for our center apartments.
Dr. Van Zandt?
Yes, sir.
Is that because the center, or is this just an effort of due diligence to make sure that we're where we need to be and everything's meeting our needs and we're getting the best price for what we for what we're getting, or is it that there's something that's not meeting our needs there anymore as far as the location that for doing a property search instead of just re-signing a new lease?
Sure. The location is actually very good where we are now. Mm-hmm. There are other drawbacks to it that with the lease, we always have the option, both the NCBVI and the lessor have the options to not continue the lease. So that's the point we're at now.
You're just shopping, kind of, basically, to see if there's...
Well, it's a little more formal than kind of shopping. We did have to do a full request for proposals, which had a specific timeline. Bids were open last Thursday, I beg your pardon. And we will be visiting one location next Friday.
Okay. So every time the lease comes up, are you kind of supposed to open it up for other bids for other locations, or?
No, it's just that we have the option if we feel that there's a need to do that.
Okay.
We've been in that location 20 years.
About 20 years.
And when we sign a new lease, we hope that it will be for at least a 10-year period of time with the options for renewals. So we definitely, it's a huge project to move the apartments. We hope we don't have to do it very often.
Right.
But this would be good timing.
I was just going to say, maybe my memory is not clear on this, but aren't there some landlord problems kind of developing too? Or not really?
Well, there's drawbacks to our current location. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Well put.
Anything else on the apartments?
No, not on the apartment.
Okay.
No.
All right.
I do have a question about the center before you leave the center.
Okay.
I just read in your report and piqued my curiosity because this is something we haven't covered in the past for legal reasons, and that has changed. That the center clients attended a seminar on Uber and Lyft.
Right.
And I was just curious who put on the seminar.
Okay. Carol can correct me if I tell this wrongly, but one of our drivers is a driver for, when I say our drivers, I should clarify, an individual with whom NCBVI contracts to provide driving for staff and clients. He, I think, also is a driver for Uber and Lyft. And so some of the students were asking, wanting to know more about it. How does it work? How do we use it, etc. Okay. So Carol arranged for that person to come and give a seminar.
Great. Okay. Was that successful? Is that something that you guys will look at doing again in the future?
We've done it before, actually. I don't know if it's my turn to talk, but we've done it before, actually, and it went well.
And the students actually prefer Uber and Lyft because it's much, much cheaper than a taxi.
Right.
So part of it, we've been working a lot on budgeting, and so this is one of those aspects to help them stretch their Social Security monies that they get. So it went really well.
Okay. Great.
When it was done before, was it also a driver? I didn't
same,
remember that we.
Yeah,
okay,
same person.
Okay, very good.
Great.
The center seminars are frequently, maybe almost every time, chosen by the center students. They and so the topics can vary quite widely.
Mm-hmm.
So, anything else, Mike?
Back to your
yeah.
area, not necessarily the center. You talked about that you've become a part of a new ADA task force established by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I'm curious as to what that task force is going to be looking at. What's kind of the mission of that task force?
Yes.
And then also, were you personally asked to be on it, or is it, you're a very knowledgeable woman, but, or is it that the position that you hold, and I guess where my question goes is going is, at some point in the time, if you're no longer the executive director, would your successor be inheriting your seat?
Yes to the last part.
Okay.
Actually, yes to kind of most of it, I guess.
Okay.
It's the governor's ADA task force, but really the driver of it is Byron Diamond, who's head of the state administrative services.
Okay.
But of course, the code agencies are directly under Governor Ricketts.
Okay.
So some consumers had, for maybe a year or two now, been working or raising the issue that Nebraska did not have an ADA coordinator in state government.
Okay.
And there actually still is not a position of an ADA coordinator. Mr. Diamond has designated a person to take the lead on a task force. She already is part of the state personnel. So she is in this role, but it's, and eventually it'll be a whole position to work on ADA issues that arise with regard to state government. And it could be all the public who could bring grievances, but it has specifically to do with state agency boards and commissions. So that's what it's going to be doing. It doesn't really have any enforcement capabilities, but it will have the capacity to take grievances, try to address situations, and either coordinate with an agency that a person has a complaint against, a grievance against, to try to educate and resolve the situation.
Is this just for to handle grievances or concerns from the public coming accessing state resources, or is this also for state staff members who are having challenges as well?
Oh, that's mostly for the public, but staff members are part of the public, so.
So as we've had challenges in the past with even Wes here recently with changes in the OCIO's office and being able to access their online ticketing system,
mm-hmm.
Is that something that would go in front of this group?
It could. The people on the group include, and this gets to your other question, Director of NCBVI, Director of Commission on the Deaf and Hard of Hearing, a representative from the Office of the CIO, and some other people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that one would hope that if you're part of state government, you're working within state government rather than coming at it as a member of the public. However, that's not to say that if, and of course the task force is just getting started, and I may be speaking out of turn here, but if I'm on the body, I would certainly want to make sure that if some concern came, we wouldn't just throw it out because you already work at the state. We would hope, hear the situation, try to use the ability of the task force to help make the change occur. But I wouldn't want a state member of a state employee to wait till this thing really gets going to bring their issue.
The reason I'm bringing it up is that if Wes is just works, and I apologize for putting you on the spot, Wes, but if Wes's case, if he were to just work with the OCIO's office directly and try to get a matter resolved, maybe eventually bring you in as his heavy, that would get resolved. But certainly the more other agencies and departments and parts of state government aren't aware of his concern or his challenge.
Right.
And so by having a central group where these are all funneling through, patterns start to form.
Mm-hmm.
And,
right.
We have not just one person having problems with this ticketing system or with Enterprise One. Mm-hmm. We have tens and twenties and hundreds of people who are having these challenges. Oh, we have this department who, wait a minute, all these, all the concerns we have are with this one department. Do they not bother to pay attention to the rules that they're supposed to be purchasing accessible software from the beginning? That, these patterns start to form and larger issues can be addressed. From a state employee standpoint, I hope that there's a mechanism there that all these things can start to be documented more completely.
Yeah. Hear, hear.
Okay.
Is that a very intensive time commitment?
So far, we're meeting once a month.
Okay.
And when I'm not available, they have designated a, forget if they call it a substitute, but definitely a designee from NCBBI so that we're always represented. And Carlos Cervana attended one of the meetings in my place. It's an interesting point to bring up staff or state employees, and I think that's something we'll discuss. I'll bring up at the next meeting because mostly we've talked about the public people who look to state government for service of some type. So, yeah. let's see. I always like to talk about employment. The jobs that the reports that the district supervisors send to always include what jobs their clients have gotten in the last period, and lots of other great information. So please read these wonderful reports. In Lincoln District, we had clients get jobs as cashier, mental health therapist, NBE vendor, daycare worker, customer service representative, and then also job maintenance as an NBE vendor, word processing technician, and a statistical clerk. Then in Omaha, some of the jobs that people have gotten in the last few months, there's several placements in customer service, quite a few active interviews that clients are getting. There are a lot of businesses in Omaha area that the businesses are getting their own assessments and their own systems that are not accessible, so that's been a real challenge, but the staff are working with the different personnel departments for accommodations. And let's see, lots of work with the educational entities, schools, counselors, and so on.
There's a comment in here from Nancy Floral.
Mm-hmm.
That we've done intensive outreach to all high schools in our district and are now looking at middle schools and institutions of higher learning. We may maintain close contact with our local TVIs, teachers of the visually impaired, serving the surrounding school districts. And coincidentally, I didn't align that to ask a question about, but is but it matches up with the parents that we heard from this morning.
Yes.
And Mrs. Brown specifically, that she didn't learn about some of the services that we offered until later on, or in fact, the TVI that she was working with was saying that, oh, they don't serve you. You know, they need to be served. You know, you need to wait until your child's older. Is this a new process, or the close ties that you're maintaining with this? Is this something that's newer in the last few years that you've been able to make contact with and try to build those relationships with the TBIs in OPD? Omaha Public Schools, I'm sorry, OPS.
Do you want to answer?
I think so. Unless,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, at a statewide basis, I'll say yes and no. I mean, the effort has been ongoing,
right,
but with the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act and the increased emphasis on transition, we're doing much more targeted work at communicating with and building those networks with educators. I will ask Nancy to talk a little more specifically.
In some cases, it's not new, because one of the things that we have always tried to do is at the beginning of every school year to meet with all the vision teachers throughout our district. But I think there's a greater emphasis of meeting with special ed directors and principals and resource teachers and directors of technology, because, you know, there's a number of people that are touching the lives of students. Mm-hmm. So if these referrals could come from any one of those professionals. And so I think that we're you know, also really networking with Nebraska VR. Their transition counselors are in the schools. So we've had referrals from them, you know, recognizing that we're the agency that should be serving the student. So I think across the state, it's a greater emphasis of meeting with each of these teams just to raise awareness of our services.
Thank you. Connie, do you want to add anything about Lincoln Public Schools?
Now that we have Stephanie on board, and this has been an effort statewide, and that Jane has worked with the counselors to go out to meet with all the ESUs. I know, you know, North Platte has done this too, where they're going out and meeting with each school, each high school, and providing information about our services. And then Stephanie will be focusing a lot of her energy in that area.
So is this something that you guys have had more success with in the last year or two than in previous years?
I think it's been an ebb and flow on an individualized basis.
Okay.
Since Connie mentioned Stephanie specifically, I will say, in addition to now having Shane as a transition coordinator, the new VR counselor in the Lincoln District, who is Stephanie Wagle, specifically will be a transition counselor, and she'll be working hours in the evenings rather than a strict 8 to 5, although we've always had flexibility, but hers will specifically be more afternoon and evening to work with clients that are in transition age.
Yeah, outside of school hours. Great.
I was just going to add, I think that's one of those changes with MEOA too, is that we're reporting the number of hours statewide that we're meeting with and working with school districts.
Okay.
And of course, like I said before, I'm skipping over lots of details. There's a lot of really great information in the report.
I did have one other one for,
sure,
in the Omaha district. Nancy, you had said, and I apologize for jumping straight to Nancy, but Pearl answer it too as well. Tim and Kathy have been attending the State of Nebraska Leadership Program. They did a short, it goes on, a short evaluation of Missouri's program and so on. I saw an earlier note that I think Amy Burrish and another employee had finished another leadership program called, I think the abbreviation was ALL.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know what the differences were.
Sure. ALL is a community-based, I think there's ALL of Lincoln, Omaha, and Kearney.
Okay.
That is really driven by business leaders, and it's to build ability of people in the public to become leaders or gain leadership skills with regard to employment, business, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a chamber of commerce type of thing, so it's focused with okay. business. The Missouri, well, we've sent a number of people and continue to send one or two at a time to National Rehabilitation Leadership Institute.
Right.
That's quite a very expensive program, but it's tremendously thorough in building leaders for voc rehab agencies across the country.
So when you've described that in the past, it sounds like it's very focused in this field.
It is.
With what the, it's not general leadership skills, it's very VR focused.
Yes, but built upon leadership skills.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's all about being a leader and mm-hmm. building, helping our agencies to be strong.
Right.
Okay, so then another, well, then the state of Nebraska in their personnel system, they have a lot of educational opportunities for state employees, and there are leadership classes as well as the leadership spectrum, or I forget the right word, in the state personnel offices or educational efforts, and those have been pretty good. They, you know, they are more, I don't know, they're good on leadership skills, but don't meet the needs of everybody. And then Missouri, we've had some meetings with our four states, Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
Missouri Rehab has developed a new system of training rehab leaders through a regional entity, I forget, University of Missouri maybe. And it's a leadership program. They are really trying to get all four states to jump on board and send people to that. So what Tim and Kathy did was really explore more of what that was.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of maybe even entirely web-based and remote leadership training. And so, yes, it has the VR focus, but it doesn't have that direct face-to-face that has a whole, takes it to a whole other level. But so that's another potential thing that we could use, resource.
When a counselor, let's see here, because we have, and I'm going to slaughter the acronym here, but the Certified Rehabilitation Counselor certification that we put forth, because there isn't one in Nebraska, so we're the certification body for that. When they renew that, I know I want to say that there's a continuing education requirement.
Yes.
And so do courses like this go towards that continuing yes. education requirement?
Yes, they okay. would. Yes. As well as a lot of other kinds of courses. We have a major effort right now with a provider of motivational interviewing
right.
techniques, and so that's a really effective approach to helping people figure out what their own goals are and then helping us help them meet those
okay.
things.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Lots of good stuff. Lots of good stuff going on. Jobs that people have gotten in the North Platte District with Grand Island Public Schools, Region 1 Office of Human Development, NBE Vending, Pizza Hut, and lots of other referrals, but those are the specific jobs people have been getting. In the reports, you'll see some references to Easter Seals and Abilities Fund. Those are two resources with whom we contract. Easter Seals provides benefits counseling so that consumers, as they're looking at working toward employment and gaining employment, they'll have an understanding of what's involved with the benefits they're on currently. Sometimes people aren't on benefits yet, and Easter Seals can help with that application process. And then the Abilities Fund is specific to self-employment. Clients who want to work in as a self-employed person, and there's a lot of skills involved with that, from business things you need to know to run your own business and all kinds of stuff. And the Abilities Fund people are very good at working directly. In both of these cases, they work one-on-one with individuals that are our clients. We make the referral to that those programs.
There, also in there, there was some mention of the Creason Management Portal Accessibility. Is that the ticketing system that Wes was having some difficulties with, or is that something else?
Yes, I think that's it.
You're correct.
It is. Okay, then never mind.
Okay, so lots going on. Kearney supervisor, I mean the supervisor for the North Platte District, lives in Kearney, but she soon will be moving to North Platte, and so that'll be really be a good thing as far as helping her to, enabling her to get across her whole district more effectively. So I'm excited about that.
So her office will be in North Platte then?
Yes, okay. The office will be in North Platte. And it used to be that the supervisor was always there. So that'll be great again to get that again. October through the end of December is a period when all of our annual and quarterly reports are due. Of course, quarterly reports are due quarterly throughout the year, but also the annual ones are due in this period of time. Different reports are due, and so lots of that sort of activity has gone on, and everything got submitted on time and correctly, and so that's all good. We were able to apply for and receive another year of the grant in Omaha, we lovingly call PILBO, which helps enable us to provide some equipment, usually to people with independent living goals. And so it's a $10,000. It's not a lot of money, but it really does help with some of those individual needs. The transition report part of my report is fairly lengthy, and there's lots of good information in there, but we've been talking about transition most of the morning, so unless you had specific questions, I'll just go over that. Technology also, as usual, there's a lot going on with technology issues. One thing that you've been in line or keeping informed about before is, I've got a chair that it's causing me trouble, I'm sorry. Anyway.
Don't let it buck you off.
I'm trying not to. I try to move and it fights me. Okay, anyway, let's see, I wanted to, the Lexmark copier. You wouldn't think a copier would be a big deal, but we've tried very hard to get a copier in Lincoln, and that we thought, if it works right, we'll put it everywhere. It's an expensive thing. It's supposed to be accessible and provide scanned accessible documents as well as be accessible to use for the users and so on. That's been the Bucking Bronco that our Lincoln staff and Wes have been writing for some time now. It really is not, it's not going to work. It is going to enable us to get scannable or readable PDF files, but it really is not, it does not meet all the other things we were hoping for. So now Wes is working. We really have very old copying and faxing machines, well, not faxing, but the copy and scanning machines in the other offices. They're all pretty old. And so Wes is working with the state's provider of copy machines to find what will work best for us, at the very least to produce searchable PDF files so that documents we get will be accessible. So that's in the works. And it's frustrating because it's been expensive in terms of the amount of time, and we really were committed to getting something that was going to work well. And
yeah, we should rename that to Perplex March.
Yeah, there you go. And we're working with the OCIO on the service portal that was mentioned earlier, it seems like, but maybe I had this, maybe I dreamt that. We haven't talked about the OCIO yet too much, but with regard to the way that agencies or state employees issue a problem, then it's called a ticket. Anyway, it's a whole system. I guess, Mike, you brought it up when we were talking about the task force.
Yeah.
So we've really been working in a number of ways to make it known what the problems are, see what resolutions we could help make happen, and I'd say that's in process.
Okay.
HR-wise, the person we had hired just before our last meeting then left the agency just after our last meeting, and so then we opened it back up, had 53 applications, and are happy to have Carrie DeFries on board. You met her today, and her first day with the agency was January 23rd, and she'll be in the center training for 6 weeks, and then into her role. So everybody's excited about that. We also, I don't know if you've heard, but the currently state employment is on a hiring freeze. And so if agencies determine positions that they really, and that it's critical that we hire, or that we fill an open position, we request approval from the governor's office. So we did have to do that with the position, the business manager too. We did get that approval. We also have had to do the same process with the temporary SOS positions that covers for temporary staff in the center, well, temporary and sometimes part-time to help in the apartments, to provide substitutes for the center classes, and we just yesterday got approval to go ahead and fill that position in the center. And then with the wages off, the wages staff, those also are through the state temporary employment, SOS. And so we did get approval to fill those positions as well. So it has worked smoothly, and we hear back pretty quickly. But we do have to make sure we have the, you know, the request done in a full-fledged way so that Mm-hmm. They know we're serious about the needs that we have to fill positions. And then one other thing that I was involved with that usually Chad would tell about, but since we didn't do that, the Friends of the Commission is still active, and they have some really good projects in the works right now. There are two projects. One is to provide training or to augment the training that's available for older Nebraskans who are blind, specifically on technology. And the other one is a promotional, well, I guess it's a way to get
fundraiser,
thank you, through the Schwann's food products. And if you have questions about either of those, I can tell you later, or Chad, who is, and Robert are both on the Friends of the Commission, and one of the public who's here today, Barbara Lowe's, is also on the Friends of the Commission. And so lots of resources here.
In fact, I think in a day or so I'll send you a proposed, like a little email, informational email that maybe could go out to staff about these, these two opportunities. Okay.
Thank you. So I think that those are really great things. Business office, Kathy, Julie, Bill, just a lot going on, of course, but a lot of it focuses on the budget, AWARE, the training, different training things that we have going, and just a lot of work. One thing I do want to mention that some people have really wanted for quite some time, and we now finally have, and that is a catalog of logo items. Right now it's just clothing, but like if you want a nifty hoodie or jacket or t-shirt that has the NCBBI logo on it, you can now purchase that. And so Kathy worked hard, and Wes helped as well, to make sure that we didn't just get a catalog. I mean, the one thing is figuring out what to put in it, the products and so on. But we wanted it to be accessible and not just a catalog with pictures. So work was put into that, and so we're excited, and so that's out there as well. And I think I'll conclude. Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
The next item on the agenda is a budget update. And I know you'll cover this, that some of the funding things that have occurred, the appropriations that have been made for us for the rest of the fiscal year, but if you could include in your comments how we were preparing for the possibility of what might come here with a 4% cut in the next biennium budget.
Yes. And that this is a topic of where to start and where to go. Bill Brown is here with us today, especially as we get into discussion of the budget and if you have questions. I think, Bill, you can just stay there and we'll see where we go with this. So the short one is, for the current fiscal year, the governor did want to decrease our budget by 4%. We went to the Appropriations Committee and we did get them to restore our budget completely. Mm-hmm. So that's very good news. Mm-hmm. Then the budget for the biennium, which is from July 1, 2017 through June 30, 2019, that's the next budget hearing. We have a hearing March 2nd. It's at 1:30 in the afternoon. Right now, we're scheduled as first on the agenda for that day. That can change, but right now, that's what the schedule is. The governor's budget that was put, well, last fall, we put all the numbers together to propose what we need for the next 2 years. And then just at the beginning of the session, the governor puts together what he wants to fund for the next 2 years in all the agencies. Then it goes to the Appropriations Committee. We have not, we've seen the proposal, but not really the official, well, let me put it this way. The Appropriations Committee had not yet started working on the biennium proposal from the governor because they were working on the current fiscal year issues. And so now they are working on it. We're starting to get communication with, there's two fiscal analysts, one with the governor's office, one with the Appropriations Committee. And so once it really kind of hits the table, then we'll be able to communicate formally about that. There are some issues with what we think is in the governor's proposal that relate to training we provide to staff and what, and I'm not talking about our center training, but like the leadership training was one thing that we had said, okay, we could pull back from that. We could save some money that way. And we had one position, one counselor position that is no longer funded. It's a vacant position, and it was not in the budget at all. But what we looked at from the governor's office cut a counselor position. So that would be huge if we actually were told, okay, you have to lose one of your, where currently all positions are filled, so you can do the math. That would not be a good thing. And it's not what we put forth. Now, remember that when you do your two-year budget, you also have to do a modification budget, which is 20% less, was it at the, or no, 8% less. So 92% of what you really want, you have to say, how would we manage if we're funded 8% less? And so of the, we list some things that we could cut down on, but in priority of what would be the last thing we would want to have to do, or the second to the last thing we would want to have to do. So we did talk about a position as the very last thing, if we really had to, would be something that we would cut. But that's only at that modification level, and again, at the last thing we would cut. Well, that was in the governor's budget. So we really need to communicate to make sure the Appropriations Committee understands, and the governor for that matter as well, that what I just said about how important that is, and with the way this agency works, quote, operations, which is almost entirely direct service staff, really is direct services. It's not you know, administrative or anything like that. So far the senators are very understanding of, they like what we do, they're impressed with the work that we do, and so it's, educating is a big part of it. Bill, maybe what else do you want to speak to, anything more specifically, or just go for questions?
Not really. I think if folks have questions, that's just fine. Some of the ways that the governor's analysts put together the cuts and how they were funded are something we're going to have to work with the Appropriations Committee on to make sure that, you know, that, again, the cuts kind of come out as a gross amount, but there is some purpose in terms of what, and especially these days where we're talking about general funds, which is the state tax dollars, and federal funds, mm-hmm. and they have a tendency to just say you can spend the federal dollars, but we're going to cut the state funds. That is, that's counterproductive to us because we use those state dollars to bring in the federal dollars. So that's something that Pearl should work on.
I didn't mention that.
And Bill,
thank you.
It's like a 4-to-1 match. So if we cut 4% out. Is that going to impact that 4-to-1 match from the federal?
It can. Now, to be very frank, we do receive a little bit more money than what we can use as match.
Okay.
All right. We use all the money, but we try to be upfront with them to make sure that they understand those impacts. But there is a certain point at which when you start making cuts, then it does. It costs you $4.69 mm-hmm. for every dollar that you cut. And that is a major point for us.
So if I could repeat back to you, there's a formula that the federal government calculates that the state should contribute, and we give that amount a plus sum. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
do you want the microphone? I need to stand
in my own. Yeah, okay. You and me both.
We want to make sure everybody can hear.
But I guess I just want to make sure I'm clear with that. The way I have always interpreted that bill is that we get, because of concerns like maintenance of effort, some topics that we've talked about related to the budget before, making sure that we can utilize the funds that are received by the feds. We don't ask for federal match on all of the dollars we get from the state. Is that the correct interpretation of what Mark was asking?
I think that is similar. One of the problems we run into is kind of the timing with what we call reallotment.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes there's money available, sometimes there's not money available. And so we always try to get those funds matched in that reallotment mm-hmm. process, but we never find out about that until the next year's budget has already started. And so it's kind of hard, again, we have to spend a lot of time trying to talk to folks about, again, the potential that we have out there, and the potential is very real. Over the last 7 years, we've received reallotment funds every year. But we also don't want to be perceived as deceiving them into thinking that we use all of those dollars to match federal funds, because if they get back to our formula grant, they're going to say, "Well, this doesn't match up."
Right.
And we have to be fairly careful.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So Pearl, one little thought I had in my head was somehow, and maybe you guys do this, but I bet they don't have many state agencies that that our product is getting people back to work. So a lot of our people are getting SSI and SSDI, so we get that reimbursement from Social Security. So it's like our products bring back monies that if we were to have to cut like some direct services, that's going to affect that reimbursement that we get. So I bet that's just a little part of the formula that they don't have with most of the other agencies that they're going to reduce funds for. So that just...
Yeah, that's a good point, and we do make that in testimony about every year, or every time.
there's the reimbursement from Social Security, but there's also the fact that the individual who goes to work then is paying taxes and is not as likely to be on, I mean, if they're earning good wage, they're not going to be on benefits from the state and the feds.
Very good.
Yeah. Anything else?
Well, if I could make a comment. Here in Nebraska, we're fortunate that we have a state that matches the maximum allotment plus. Not every state in the country is that way.
Correct.
So that didn't happen by accident. It took consumer group organizations and communication with the NCBBI. So it's important as consumers and clients that if we need to go to Lincoln to be heard, we need to do that. So you'll have to let us know if that need is there or not.
Thank you for that. I will say that always it's important to know who your state senator is and get acquainted with them in budget times and not in budget times, and help them know what it is that's needed and what's here. And if you think it's good, let them know that too.
Do you need people to come March 2nd, or is that more of a formality?
No, it's not a formality. With the budget hearing, the budget hearings, not the the appropriations one, or I'm sorry, the current budget, the current fiscal year one that we just had was really not as important. Of course, if they would have cut us 4%, we wouldn't have been good, but it was just for the rest of this fiscal year. So, but the one March 2nd is for the next 2 years. We are in a time of budget shortfall, and so it's pretty important that people participate, whether it's in Lincoln at the hearing or and at just with your individual senators.
Sure, we can do that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chad, Robert, does anyone else have a question?
Nope.
No.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Okay. I appreciate the update. The next item on our agenda is a Newsline update, and due to the time restraints that we have today, I'm going to go ahead and move past that. Just like all of the other reports, the report that we received from Jamie Ritchie, the Newsline coordinator for the state of Nebraska, will be in its entirety in the minutes that are posted online and that are available if you like them. I will say that the report that we got, while there were a couple new publications that she mentioned that are available nationally, there wasn't a lot of announcements like, you know, this something's broken, or this feature was added, or this new newspaper in Nebraska or something like that. So mainly she was reporting on statistics, number of readers and minutes read and so on, like she typically does each quarter, keeping us informed. But there are a couple new publications, one newspaper and 4, 5, 6 magazines as well. So the list of those will be online.